The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk, the Spectator's food and drink podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast.
And I'm Olivia Potts.
And we're delighted today to be joined by Geoffrey Archer, Baron Archer of Weston-super-Mare, the celebrated English novelist, former politician and peer of the realm. His new book, Hidden in Plain Sight, is out now. Geoffrey, welcome to Table Talk.
Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to be here.
We're going to begin where we always do, at the beginning. Could you tell us about your earliest memories of food?
Well, I come from Weston-super-Mare in Somerset, and we had a fish and chip shop called Coffins, where you could get a bobolot, which was 1 shilling, 5p for a fish and chips. And Coffins was next to another shop. And the Coffins queue was always round the block. Whereas the other shop, you could always pop in when you wanted to, which taught me that quality does matter and doing a good job does matter. The queue wasn't there by mistake.
And when you weren't eating at Coffins, what were family meals like for you?
Well, it was just after the war. The war had just finished. I was born in 1940. I'm now 80. So there was food rationing. We had ration books. Bet you've never seen one of those. And when you went to a shop to get meat, they took a coupon out of your ration book. So you couldn't have meat for another week. And indeed, Wall's Ice Cream's advertisement was more than a treat, a food. So that's what life was like in those days.
And what about at school? Our guests have very mixed memories of school dinners.
Do you know, I didn't discover cabbage because of school. I didn't discover cabbage until I was 40. I wouldn't touch cabbage because it was so bad at school. I assumed it would be bad when I went to a good restaurant. I now love cabbage. It's one of my favourites. I can have a plate of cabbage. And cauliflower. I avoided all of these because they were, in those days when I was at school, they really swam in water. So they may as well have had water wings. And they were dreadful. I mean, they were so bad. You can't begin to imagine how bad they were. You were extremely lucky.
Am I right in saying that your mother wrote a column for the local newspaper called Over the Teacups?
Correct.
What was that food related? What was that about?
That was related as to what was happening in Weston-super-Mare, where we lived. So it was a sort of column to let people know what was on at the theatre, what was on at the music halls, what was going on, who was visiting Weston. It sort of superior gossip column.
And after school, you went to Oxford and were a member of Brasenose College. Was college food any better than school food?
A step up, but not a very large step. I can't pretend. But I was very fortunate because I had rooms in Iffley Road. And the person who took care of me, the three of us actually, was a wonderful cook. So for the first time in my life, I was well taken care of. I have suffered in life by two remarkable women, my mother, who couldn't cook, a remarkable woman, and my wife, to whom I've been married for 54 years, has only learnt to cook during lockdown. So that was a long wait, I have to tell you. She now makes a superb vichyssoise, and she can do a baked potato with things in the middle of it that I yearn and crave for, but I'm bound to say it's taken 54 years coming. And her son, 48 years old, said, I want my youth back.
So, Geoffrey, can we assume that you've been doing the cooking for the last 40 years?
No, you cannot. That was a disgraceful suggestion. I make a very passable spaghetti with tomato, and I am capable of cutting a pork pie into four and putting a lettuce leaf with it. Otherwise, you can dismiss me as incompetent. The fact that I criticise my wife doesn't mean that I'm any better. It's just that she's better at everything else. So there has to be something to criticise her for.
So who does the cooking in your household then?
We very luckily have a wonderful housekeeper, which called Paula, and she takes care of me and she understands that I now understand cabbage.
Just to take you back to Oxford briefly, am I right in thinking that the Beatles came to Oxford when you were there under your invitation? Did you eat with them? Did you dine with them?
Yes, they dined at college, and I must say we dined in the Master's Lodge, and the food was good. But so was the company, because the four Beatles came to support Oxfam to launch its £1 million campaign for their 21st birthday. So yes, I don't remember, I do apologise, or I don't remember what was on the menu.
You've been through many institutions, food-wise. What was food like in the House of Commons?
I don't want to insult them, but better than school.
What sort of things would be on the menu?
They're very traditional. Half of them are boarding school boys, and they're quite happy with steak and kidney pie, fish and chips, followed by an ice cream. They're not what I'd call gourmets. The gourmets do have a restaurant across the road, which they can go to, so they avoid, gourmets avoid the Commons. We now actually have, looking at the Lords and the Commons, we now have some excellent restaurants within a quarter of a mile of the building, so there's no excuse not to eat well, but I'm bound to say, if it is culinary genius you're looking for, as I suspect you two are, the House of Commons is not the place to go. But it's one of the most beautiful dining rooms in England.
Talking of institutions, you also spent time in prison. What was the food like there? Was it better or worse than school food?
About the same as school. And the disaster was that you didn't get much food of which you could honestly slim. So I put on a stone and got rid of it pretty well straight afterwards.
What sorts of things would they serve?
Meat, or what they called meat. Veg, what they call veg, and potatoes that certainly didn't come from Jersey.
What did you crave whilst you were in prison that you couldn't have there, food-wise?
I can't pretend that was an important factor in my life, or ever has been. I can't pretend that... I have two close friends, Simon and Chris, who are, by any standards, foodies. And so I go to restaurants with them and do as I'm told. And I was once in Italy, I remember, they called for the chef because the sauce on the fish was something they hadn't tasted before. And they had a long chat to the chef about the sauce on the fish. And I realised then, not for the first time, that I never will be a foodie.
And tell us about when you're writing. Do you have anything that's a go-to snack for you? Do you eat when you're writing? Does it distract you? Does food play any part in your writing process?
I wouldn't eat while I'm actually writing. And I'm fairly careful because I work from 6 to 8 in the morning. And then I have breakfast. And then I work 10 to 12, go for an hour's walk, and then have lunch. And then I do 2 to 4 in the afternoon, and then have a break and another walk, and then a light supper. Mary and I much prefer a light supper in the evening. Last night, for example, we had onion soup, nothing else. A bowl of onion soup and a bread roll, and that was it. I suppose it's our age. I've read too many articles saying if you're going to eat heavily, eat midday, not at night.
You're also well known for hosting good parties, and your shepherd's pie and Krug parties have become very well known. Do you still eat shepherd's pie, and do you still drink Krug champagne?
I've never drunk Krug champagne, but I do give it to my friends. I do enjoy my friends enjoying champagne. I love shepherd's pie. And by the way, this is one of the subjects on which you're talking to a world expert. And the lady who makes the shepherd pie for me is called Nikki, and she lives in Newmarket. And she has refused to give Mary the recipe. People queue from all over the world for my shepherd's pie, and I don't even know the recipe.
Why do you love it so much?
I don't know. I think it's a common man's food. I can see you two are serious about food. And
I love shepherd's pie. Geoffrey, I had shepherd's pie at my wedding. that was what we had. Wow. I love it.
Oh, well, then we're in the presence of a civilized woman. What a wonderful thing to have at your wedding. Bravo. No, I've always loved it. I love fish and chips. And I have a marvellous fish and chip shop near me in London. I love shepherd's pie. As I said, in reference to going out to these posh places, I'm pathetic. They see me coming in the door and say, "Shepherd's pie, my lord." Embarrassed. Yes, yes, it's the Ritz. Oh, yes, shepherd's pie.
And what do you think makes a good party host?
That's a very tough question to answer, because I do spend hours on my parties. Hours. I think the preparation is important, right the way from the invitation card to every single element of the afternoon or lunch, whichever it is. Every single element. Where people sit, what the food is, how the food will be served, making life easy for the person who's coming, and making them want to be invited again. I'm very proud of the fact that at my 80th birthday, which was cancelled, but I'm hoping, praying, that the vaccine will allow me to do it again on April the 15th the next year.
Mark your diaries.
I'm very proud to tell you that 96% of people invited said yes. So preparing a party and doing a party, I take, and so does Mary, very seriously indeed.
And when you're abroad, you have a place in Mallorca. I mean, do you like Spanish food?
Yes, I quite like Spanish food. We have a remarkable restaurant. Some people say the best restaurant on the island, 10 minutes away from our front door. So, and it's a real treat. It's on the harbour overlooking the bay, and it's a remarkable restaurant. And we also have the Foch family in Mallorca, who have four beautiful restaurants. So food in Mallorca is very good, but I have a marvellous chef who takes care of me called Thierry, and he knows that while I'm writing and I'm on those sessions, I just want food that will keep me alive. I mean, he actually cooks very well indeed, but I don't want hyper special stuff, because I can go out to a restaurant for that. I want to get on with the writing.
Are there any foods you won't touch? Anything that disgusts you?
I don't know. No, disgust's a big word.
It's a strong word.
I don't really care for prawns, and there are a lot of fish foods that I don't really care a lot for. I must confess, they're not top of my list. So, although I have to say that there's a fish pie they do at Jay Shiki, which is a killer. But it's almost the only exception in that field. Otherwise, I'm pretty easy. I sit down and eat what's put in front of me. One of my sons has married a vegan, so I do have the occasional meal on which I don't comment at all. I just eat it and leave the room and get on with whatever I'm doing.
And what about a drink? You've said you don't drink Krug, but do you like to have a drink?
Well, I'm not a drinker, to be honest. I used to be a runner before you two were born. And I went on running until the age of 26. And you can't drink if you're a runner. So I didn't really start drinking until I was 27. So a glass of red wine I love with my beloved cheddar cheese and fresh bread. And by fresh, I mean you've got to put your finger in it. It's got to sink into it. So fresh bread, real cheddar cheese, and there's a particular place in Somerset I get my cheddar cheese, and a really nice glass of red wine is my idea of heaven.
We've got to ask, where do you get your cheese from?
I get my cheese from Lycross Farm, L-Y-E, Lycross Farm near Cheddar. And I thought I had a little exclusive down there, because at Christmas, for my Christmas party, I need a couple of hundred of them to give to my guests. So I said, I must be one of your bigger customers with 200. And he said, no, Marks and Spencer's are currently taking 10,000 a year. So I realised that yet again, I'm a minor customer.
Do you have a sweet tooth?
Yes, there's my Kit Kat for the day, which you can see.
We can.
And I'm only allowed half, as you can see. I'm not allowed four. I'm only allowed two. And it's delivered to me now. And that's it. My sister, who lives in New York, we call Miss Chocolate. She literally, when she comes, I mean, I'll tell you how bad she is. Last Christmas, she lives in New York. She flew over to be with us. And someone had given us a wonderful box of chocolates. And she admitted when she came down to dinner that night that she'd already tried a couple. My son pointed out, actually, there were 14 missing. So she thought a couple was, you know, pushing her luck. So she really loves her chocolate. I quite like it. And I particularly like a good chocolate ice cream.
And we normally ask people what their comfort food is. I mean, I assume you might say shepherd's pie, but is there anything else that's your particular comfort food?
Comfort food is a strange word, isn't it? Does it mean you just relax with it? In any case, you love it and you feel safe. Then I'm afraid I have to feebly say, yes, shepherd's pie and fish and chips. And yeah. if your watchers are saying, what a pleb, they are correct. That is absolutely correct. When it comes to food, I am a pleb.
Well, we then have to test your devotion to the shepherd's pie. Would it be your desert island meal?
Do you get three courses or one?
Three. As many as you want, but let's go with three.
My wife has recently, during lockdown, learnt to make a Vichy Soise you would kill for. She is a chemist. She damn well ought to be. But as I said, it's taken 54 years to get there. Her Vichy Soise is a killer. So I would start with that, without question. I would then have fish and chips from a restaurant called the Happy Halibut in London. I would have their fish and chips. I like it immensely. Although I am told again and again that the best fish and chip shops are in the north of England, and two of them in one town in particular. And if I was to get off my backside, I would realise they were in a different class than anything I'm eating in London. For the third course, if I pronounce this correctly, because I love it, and there's a particular restaurant I think makes it better than anyone that I've come across, I love an affogato to end on. I'm not a coffee man, but this particular man in Lucio's in the Fulham Road makes an affogato to die for. I suggest the two of you try it out. But I've got something special for you later. Don't forget, I've got something special for you.
And what's that?
Well, lockdown has been very strange, hasn't it?
It has.
So when I went back after my 14 weeks, Mary and I went back to London, I went to one of my favourite restaurants, which is a little Italian restaurant called Il Vicolo in Crown Passage near St. James. And the owner, the proprietor, is a typical Italian, and I love him dearly. And we've been friends for 30 years. And during lockdown, he dropped down dead. So off I go to the restaurant to hear this terrible news. But here is something that you two will truly approve of. His three daughters, all under the age of 30, have taken over the restaurant and are running it. And I have to say, Mary and I have been there twice in that small period of time between first lockdown and second lockdown, and the food is even better. So there's a story that comes out of COVID-19, that comes out of lockdown, that comes out of all the problems so many people are facing. These three young girls, the daughter of a distinguished proprietor of an Italian restaurant, said, right, Dad, we'd better get on with it. They've rolled their sleeves up. And when you go in the restaurant, you'll see all three of them, one running the counter, one serving, one organising the chef. It's a privilege to watch the three of them.
And what do you order there? What's your favourite thing to eat there?
They do a remarkable lasagna, which I can't resist. Back to being pathetic, tomato and spaghetti, pomerado, whatever the correct word is. But they know that too. They're pathetic with me. They tell me the specials each day, and then Mary kindly tells me what they mean, or what the ingredients will be, or what I can expect to arrive on the plate. Because she's, as everybody in England knows, she's far cleverer than I am. you don't become chairman of the Science Museum if you don't know the difference between Pomodoro and whatever. And she's a scientist as well, so it's doubly embarrassing. So the simple Italian dishes, as both of you know, are very hard to beat.
Geoffrey's new book, Hidden in Plain Sight, is out now. And Geoffrey, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us on the Spectator's Food and Drink podcast. For more recipes, food history, stories and drinks, you can head to the Spectator website.